Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. One of my favorite galleries is bigger than a gallery, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that with Jamie Dufek, who's with us today. And she is the acting director of the Arts Fund. Now, can you believe that it's been 40 years? I mean, I cannot believe it. The Art Fund turns 40 this year. And they've got celebrations lined up for the entire year. And I've got a pile of announcements here about all the events and retrospective and limited edition commemorative items, things you can purchase. And then Jamie, who's with us today, is going to talk to us a little bit about the Arts Fund, but also the connection that the fund has made over this past year. And I'm blown away, the connection that the fund has made with arts organizations across the county. And that's multi-generational arts organization across the county. And I want you guys to write down, if you're listening to me, write down a special art walk on March 17th. And I just want to say, this is an extremely important art walk because it's in La Cumbre Plaza, and you guys know that I've covered the La Cumbre Arts Collective there in the plaza, and I've actually spoken to them and done lectures for them on how to look at emerging art and all sorts of things. I really like their gallery, and they're actually expanded. Mike Creighton, who is the director, has expanded to other galleries in La Cumbre Plaza. And then the Arts Fund is going to celebrate this wonderful liaison with the Grace Fisher Foundation. You guys might have remembered that Grace was this budding artist who had a very severe accident. She's wheelchair bound, but community got together and she's done a wonderful job. We have a community arts warehouse dedicated to her. It's the Grace Fisher Foundation and the Arts Fund and the La Cumbre Artist Collective and a lot of other artists are getting together to celebrate this particularly poignant meeting place. And it's an actual big storefront where it's devoted to the inclusive arts. And I'm super thrilled that that's happening. There's you can take a look at the Grace Fisher Foundation and see how marvelous it is and what a wonderful young woman Grace is. But anyway, Jamie Dufek is with us today. She's been on the air in all kinds of different ways with me before. And I thought we'd start the show by asking Jamie a little bit about, her background. Jamie, I was thinking last night, you have to have such a unique background to do the acting directorship of the Arts Fund because it's administration. But as my ex-father-in-law used to say, who was a huge collector of art and loved artists, but was an accountant himself, he said, you know, artists, when you get a bunch of artists together, it's like stuffing 10 cats in a pillowcase.
That's true.
You know? And so, I mean, and I know you have this background in administration and you have a background in real business, et cetera, et cetera. Then you turn to the arts and it's necessary to have what you have, but describe for me a little bit about your background, how that works for you with the Arts Fund.
Sure. So I am originally from Minnesota, and I always tell people that I got stuck in paradise. So my undergrad, I received in Minnesota in studio art, and I moved out to Santa Barbara, and it was supposed to be you know, a 3-month kind of fun trip. And here we are 15 years later, and I'm still in Santa Barbara. So I tell people I got stuck in paradise, and I think I consider myself a Santa Barbara local now. And I work full time at a company called Tiger 21, which is a membership organization for ultra high net worth individuals. And prior to that, I was in the executive coaching realm. And prior to that, I was in the nonprofit sector in development. And so that's a really kind of unique intersection. And then the arts fund gets plopped in there, right? And so this idea of business and my love of art and that my nonprofit experience as well kind of all comes together for me being able to play a role in the arts fund as acting director. And prior to that, I joined the board in 2015. And I have been involved since 2015, was also the board president and currently still am. I think the acting director position was a choice the organization made when COVID happened. So before COVID, we already were planning on having our last executive director exit and planning a great goodbye, all of that, and going to do an executive director search. And that was all going to happen in March. Well, I think we all know the March date that's forever burned into our minds, but that happened. And so we decided to pause an executive director search, and I stepped in as acting executive director. And so that's kind of how that came to be. But I really love getting into the daily operations of the organization and seeing the connections that we're making and being on that front, because for so many years prior to that, I was in a board seat. That just gives you a different lens as well.
You were in what now? Prior to that, I didn't catch that word.
I was in a board seat for the Arts Fund.
A board seat. Okay.
So being a board member was definitely different than the executive director role. However, I think it gives me another layer of perspective as well that really helps as I'm now in the daily operations of the organization.
I have a personal question. It's interesting because there's been some real challenges for the not-for-profit community, you know, during COVID, and a lot of competition. And at the same time, what's really struck me when I was looking into the Arts Fund background last night, it was like, okay, but you guys have taken this polarized atmosphere of the COVID landscape and pulled together some really interesting collaborations. And that impresses me. So I knew a bunch of people, you know, from doing this show for so long, a bunch of people in the arts that were really fighting tooth and nail to remain there in their toehold, not in a very competitive stance. Mm. And not necessarily saying, okay, we're both in theater or we're both in dance, and so let's collaborate. No, instead of that, they pulled each other apart in many cases. And in the case of the Arts Fund, it seems like you guys have coalesced with community support during COVID. Am I right in thinking that was deliberate?
Yes. And I think that it's always been a deliberate choice for the Arts Fund. It's embedded directly into our mission to have collaborative relationships with other organizations. And so as you know, nonprofits are nonprofits. They are their own entity that is not owned by a single person, right? And so for us, we're mission driven, like all nonprofits. So we always come back to the mission. And if you stay true to what the mission is, I think things fall into place. And for us, we're really, I think, lucky. It was really smart of Joanne Holderman and Shirley Detman, who founded the organization, to have that as part of our mission because they saw how important collaboration was. And so for us, it really helps drive a lot of our decisions. It helps us drive a lot of the projects that we take on or initiatives that we take. And it's really in it long term just really helped the organization stay really relevant. And I think it shows even more when the unexpected happens, like COVID and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about a couple of the shows that have been up. I looked into this, the recent community gallery. So it's in the Funk Zone, community gallery. And the show is entitled The Kind of Mothering, Coloring Outside the Lines of Motherhood. And the show is not hanging anymore, but the exhibition highlighted the influence that politics and culture tradition have on mothers in today's society. And you had a guest curator called Valley in Film and a number of artists. And I wonder, can you give me your impressions of the show, Jamie?
Yes. So the guest curator came through us through our guest curator program. She had an amazing proposal for us, and we were really excited to see her bring in artists who were all people of color with their views on motherhood and femininity and what that means in the community and cultural traditions. It was a really beautiful show with a lot of different mediums as well. We had video, we had sculpture, we had paintings, mixed media, and in a relatively small space as well. And so Valley in Film was really able to put something very beautiful and simple together for the Arts Fund and for the community.
And the curator's name is Valley in Film?
Valley in Film is their artist name. Yes.
Oh, the artist name. Okay, so it's a Valley in Film. So they are a group of artists. So what was the takeaway? What did you learn? I mean, I have my own raising a understanding of motherhood today and in the past. You know, my son is 35 and he's raising a 2.5-year-old and just had a newborn my newborn granddaughter. And it seems like the paradigm of motherhood is the same, but shifting drastically. And I'll just tell you, Jamie, just a little personal thing, very interesting because I was a single mom and, you know, I when I could, I actually enlisted help in the household. And, you know, when I had the money, I could, you know, afford to have somebody, you know, take my son to school or maybe clean the house or something like this. The apartment had a little apartment. But it seems like motherhood is a group effort now, and it's quite interesting to me because it wasn't in the past. It was like, okay, you know, this is it. You've got your kids, and if the husband's not interested, then or the father is not interested, then you're kind of on your own. And it seems like with my son and his wife, at least, there's a community of people that are kind of behind them now. Or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it can go really either way, because in my time, you could always call family, female family members. Mm-hmm. But I guess today it's not quite the same. I mean, did the show touch on any of those themes?
I mean, I think that the show did in its own way. I mean, I think that sometimes when you think about motherhood, you think about moms that have it all together, that can hold everything and have this kind of perfect thing and always be on top of everything and never stressed out and that sort of thing. And what I would say is this show brought, I think, a type of calmness, but also it really showed the beauty of being a mother and that relationship between mother and child. I think it also showed a lot of vulnerability that mothers have that hasn't always been talked about. And that was something that I think was really special, and it gave this softness to the show that I think it's like, no, you don't necessarily always have it all together, right? But it's not this like chaotic thing. It's just this beautiful vulnerability that was shown through all of these artists and how they interpret relationships.
That is fascinating, because you know, in my day, you're not supposed to be vulnerable.
Right.
And especially my mom's day, you weren't supposed to be vulnerable. And I can remember my mom, you know, having some real problems because she couldn't show that side, you know, and mm-hmm. Totally, you know, that keeping up with with the neighbors that in the 1960s, and boy, you better not, you know, deviate from the perfect
right.
figure, face, and motherhood appearance, because boy, that was the end of it for you in that neighborhood. So yeah, I mean, the three generations here, that is so cool. I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk about that show. I also want to talk about, we talked a little bit about the art of Ron Robertson and what a success story to his estate, the Arts Fund has been. And I want to talk with delicacy about that. It is actually March 17th, the show opens. And the gentleman, Ron Robertson, was a master of mixed media assemblage. He was a stylist and a printmaker. He worked for Ford. He studied Japanese printmaking. And I understand that there's a show that benefits the Arts Fund through his estate, and that's coming up, and it's at the Arts Fund Community Gallery. And I want to buy some things there. I mean, it seems so fascinating. And they're really unique, really, really unique. So let's talk about that a little bit when we get back from the break. Richard's giving us time. We've got a quick break. And tell me about the story of Ron Robertson when we get back, Jamie, if you would. Don't turn that down. Back with Jamie Dufek, who's acting director of the Arts Fund, amongst many other hats that she wears. And we're so lucky that she's so capable in many different fields, not the least of which is arts administration and not-for-profit understanding and management, but she also gets it because she was trained in her undergraduate years as an artist. So a really interesting combination. Usually people are on one side of the brain or the other, Jamie. You seem to have got both sides going.
I try.
Yeah. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute with Jamie. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Jamie Dufek, who's the acting director of the Arts Fund. And I'm learning that this happened during COVID, where they were going to do an executive director search. And then it was all battened down the hatches and let's see what we can do with who we have on the board. Jamie was on the board. And all of a sudden, because of her many talents, she was put in the position of acting director. She's been there now, you know, since the beginning of COVID in March in 2020. So been a while. And I'm so impressed with the last email blast that she sent out with all the things that the Arts Fund is doing and all the wonderful things that they've collaborated upon to do. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the art of Ron Robertson, Jamie. So tell me about that. Tell me the story.
Yeah, so, you know, Ron was a longtime supporter of the Arts Fund. He was a mentor in our teen arts mentorship program prior to my involvement with the organization. So he regularly opened up his studio to students through that program. He was on our board of directors for a number of years, and he was a professor of printmaking as well. And so, you know, last year, around right before the summer, his daughters reached out to the Arts Fund to see if we wanted to have any of his work. They were wanting to do a show for him. He was in a memory care facility up in Seattle, and really wanted to donate to the Arts Fund because he loved the organization so much. So we decided to do a show Ron Robertson, The Power of Objects. And we went to the storage unit where all of his work was in Santa Barbara and picked out probably over 100 pieces. I mean, the collection that was there was amazing. And we did a show in July and August of last year, a benefit show. So the Robertson Family Foundation donated all of the work. And so all of the work that sells, 100% of those sales goes back into the Teen Arts Mentorship Program that he loved so much. And it was really neat to see, because Ron is he's a master of mixed media assemblage. And I mean, when you see his work in person, it's like, wow. And he truly believed in the power of objects. He rarely bought art supplies. He was on the beach all the time, Henry's Beach, picking up things with, had a bag and would collect all sorts of found objects. And a lot of what you see is the result of that, and the way that he can manipulate things and you know, focus in on subject matter and things like that is pretty, pretty amazing. And so on March 17th, we're doing an encore show. So for those that weren't able to come last year, we're doing kind of the celebration show for him, and that'll be in our community gallery as well.
And our works will be for sale.
Works will be for sale, proceeds benefiting the Arts Fund. So we're hoping that those that didn't get to come out will come out and buy a piece, or those who got a piece and just needs more will take a look and see.
May I be crass enough to ask about the price range?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that was really important to Ron too was the accessibility of work in general. I think that's why he also opened up his studio so often to students. And so the price range is anywhere from, if I'm being specific, there are some small pieces that you'll be able to find for $100. And they probably range up to $10,000. His work has been priced in a way that I think honors the work, but also makes it accessible, because at the end of the day, we want these to be in people's homes to enjoy, or office spaces, or wherever they end up. We want them to be in a good home, because it's pretty, pretty amazing stuff.
Okay. So now that's March 17th is the opening. The show runs till April 28th. And that is in collaboration with the Community Gallery in La Cumbre Plaza. And it's in conjunction with the second, which is a 2023 Arts Fund Art Walk. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. So on the 17th of March, if you guys write that down on your calendar, not only can you see Ron Robertson's show, but you can see and have that ability to purchase from $100 and up, a major master. But March 17th also will be kind of, it's going to be interesting, because there's a lot of very interesting artists down at La Cumbre Plaza there. The La Cumbre Arts Collective is there. A lot of interesting artists there. So you're going to have the Arts Fund folks. You're going to have La Cumbre Plaza folks. You're going to be able to see what's happening in one of four or five galleries, community galleries down there. And then you're also going to welcome the Grace Fisher Foundation. And that is really special. And I was so pleased to hear, to read, actually. This is a foundation that focuses on children living with disabilities to music, art, dance, and other forms of creative expression. And they'll be screening a film in the space next to the community gallery. Also, we're going to find on March 17th, it's a red letter day, down in a mall where it was looking like it was kind of dying, but not anymore, basically. So we're going to see a visit with the Santa Barbara Public Library on the go outreach van. We're going to have a van full of books to be given away. The CoLab is Santa Barbara's new networking space for not-for-profit organization, which is really amazing. People will understand a little bit more about the not-for-profit world. It's fairly complex. And then three open galleries in the La Cumbre Center for Creative Arts. And then guided tours through Museum of Sensory and movement experience. I have never heard of them. And then, of course, you've got all this massive parking that's available at La Cumbre Plaza. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, I'm interested to know about the Grace Fisher Foundation and the connection with the Arts Fund. And then I'd like to hear a little bit about CoLab and the La Cumbre Center for the Creative Arts, and also the Museum of Sensory Movement and Experiences. That one floored me. It sounds interesting. Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm probably going to bop around in order of what you just listed, but, you know, the Arts Fund is really excited because we found a permanent home in La Cumbre. And that actually came through Miss Me, the Museum of Sensory Movement Experiences. There's an artist in town, his name is Marco Pinter, and he had a vision and dream for this museum, which is focused on interactive media arts.
What's his name?
Marco Pinter.
Okay.
And he has been a longtime supporter and friend of the Arts Fund, been part of Teen Arts Mentorship Programs, and he reached out to us last year on a merger absorption, if you will. So the Arts Fund actually absorbed the museum underneath their community gallery program, and we took over that space. And the way that the space was set up was half of it was Marco's studio and the other half was the museum. And we turned his studio space into our community gallery. So we had a home in La Cumbre, which then gave us a physical space to bring back the Arts Fund art walks. We used to organize the Funk Zone art walks, and they were wildly successful for many, many years. And part of the mission of the art walk is to partner with other galleries, artists, businesses to host something for the community to come to that is free, accessible, and celebrates the arts. And so the art walk is featuring, you know, you named a lot of the people that are already there. So the La Cumbre Center for Creative Arts already has three galleries there and established right before COVID. The Museum of Sensory Movement Experiences is open, and we do complimentary tours during that time. Normally it's a ticketed museum to go through. Our community gallery with the Ron Robertson Show. One that was missed is the Voice magazine moved in and has a home there now as well in La Cumbre. And Carrie there actually curates a gallery within the space. So she rotates the work out every month, and they participate in the art walk as well, and will be open. And we do live music throughout La Cumbre. La Cumbre has been really receptive to how the Arts Fund wants to bring out the community and host these events as well. And so, you know, and then the Grace Fisher Foundation is doing their grand opening this week. In fact, their official ribbon cutting, and they are in a space that's right next door to the Arts Fund. And I think it was pretty masterful of La Cumbre to kind of see these organizations and needs and put them where they did, because it started to become this arts nonprofit space that's so needed in Santa Barbara.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned in this particular newsletter about the challenges that, you know, here we are and we're facing the pandemic, but we're also facing even in the short time, you know, the Funk Zone is no longer affordable, and there's just no affordable, you know, studio space. You know, it's just become so difficult. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. So the fact that the La Cumbre, now you mentioned I didn't catch the name. There's an artist who's curating something. And I didn't catch what was going on.
Oh, so the Voice magazine occupies a space in La Cumbre Plaza, and Carrie Methner, the editor there, she curates a show. So there's the Voices is there, but they have the Voice Gallery as well. So it's another gallery, and she curates it and rotates work every month. And it's usually a combination of a lot of different artists. And I would say, you know, during the week, if people are there, they should stop in and see, because she puts together some amazing artists in their Voice gallery.
And so you guys are there, and then there's going to be the Lucumber Center for the Creative Arts. There's four galleries that they have, right?
They have three galleries. So Lucumber Center of Creative Arts has three galleries. And then there's the Arts Fund that has the Miss Me Museum, as well as the Community Gallery. The Voice Gallery is there. And then the Grace Fisher Foundation has their space there. And then CoLab is doing their grand opening on March 17th as well. And CoLab is a passion project of mine. So the idea...
Is that CoLab is your project?
It is.
Tell me more.
So CoLab came from seeing... small nonprofits of a certain size with a limited amount of employees, so maybe 1 to 3 employees, and kind of the isolation. And I saw that as I stepped into the interim executive director position with the Arts Fund, which is 90% of the time our program manager was working from home, siloed, isolated. And a lot of those that work from home, you know, don't necessarily have a spare room to have an office space or the right space to really always be working from home. And nonprofits with limited operating budgets, it's not feasible for them to find office space in Santa Barbara that you have to pay rent, electricity, internet, all those things. And so I was like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a space for nonprofits of smaller sizes to be able to have a space that they can come and go as they please? They have access to a printer. They can leave their things there. They can really separate work from home, because a nonprofit sector can be stressful sometimes. And because we had built such a great relationship with the mall, when I put that idea out there to see if they would be receptive to that, they loved it. And so it's going to open in the old Tiffany space, which is a gorgeous 3,400 square foot space. And we currently
in the old Tiffany's?
The old Tiffany's space in Lucumbra.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So right on the corner there. And we have four nonprofits that are already going to be a part of it. And we're in conversations with two more. So there will hopefully in the next couple months have six nonprofits in there. And it's nice because they'll have open office area, but then they'll also have a space for a boardroom or to host an event and also be part of the kind of energy and liveliness that is coming into Lucumbra as well. And it's just, it takes collaboration to a different level, because it's not only collaborating relative to how could our programs work together, but also collaboration from an operational administrative level, which is instead of six rents, six electricity bills, six internet bills, it's one under one roof. And you know, funders and sponsors actually really get behind that. And so we're really hopeful that the first year in that space will be covered through people's donations or some major corporate sponsors in the community.
That is fantastic. So, okay, now just very quickly, and then we go to a quick break, but let's say I'm a not-for-profit, and I know you've got four in there. You're speaking with two others. I'm a not-for-profit. I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, wow, I've got my bedroom closet tricked out like an office, and I'm getting real tired of that. I'd really like to find out more. How do they find out more about CoLab?
Yeah, they can reach out to me directly at info@claybyjamiedufek.com.
Okay, say that one more time.
info@claybyjamiedufek.com.
Okay. And what we can do is make sure we shout that out a couple more times as we get closer to the end of the interview. But when we get back, I would really like to talk about it. I mean, we got March 17th. It's going to be fantastic with many things happening and just a kind of mind-blowing. And that's the introduction of many of these things that we're talking about, dear listener, in regards to the Santa Barbara Public Library's book van, giving away books, the grand opening of CoLab, the new co-working space for not-for-profit organizations, 3 open galleries in the Coomber Center for Creative Arts where you can buy art, talk to the artists, say hi to some of the artists there and look at what they're doing and how they're doing it and see if you could make a connection there. I know my son, I brought him to one of the openings. He made great friends with Polly Exmano, and he purchased a couple of pieces from Polly. A complimentary guided tours through the new Museum of Sensory and Movement Experiences. And of course, the Arts Fund is collaborating with that organization. They've got a community gallery in the museum. Not only that, you don't have to walk around for hours and hours because you parked, you know, blocks away. It's right there. So this is happening March 17th from 5 to 8 p.m. at La Coomber Plaza on Hope Avenue. When we get back from the break, I want to talk about the teen mentorship program and the interesting art form that is being mentored. I remember when you guys were, 10 or 12 years ago, I was part of a mentorship program with the Arts Fund. And this is a new art form that I would have never thought that it would enter into your purview, but I'm so happy. It's going to be hip hop and dance mentorship program. How cool is that? We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. I'm speaking with Jamie Dufek, who's the acting director of the Arts Fund, but we're learning that she's got a real soft spot for not-for-profit arts, and she's developed this project called CoLab, which I think is the big news, really. If you're interested, if you're not-for-profit and you're thinking, I'm tired of working out of my closet, my dining table, I'm tired of having the kids get into my files, this is an answer to your prayer. And we heard that it could be discussed with Jamie, our guest today. Hey, Richard.
Yes.
There he is. Okay, let's go to quick break, and then we're going to talk about the Spring Teen Arts Mentorship under the aegis of the Arts Fund, Hip Hop and Dance, yay. It's going to be kind of cool. There's going to be a place involved that will blow your socks off. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. I'm talking with Jamie Dufek, who's acting director of the Arts Fund, and she is just full of information. I didn't even know half of the things she's telling me, and I just want to say that the overarching conception of this show, I just want to give a shout out because, Jamie, I think I mentioned to you this before, but I was in high school, and I wasn't all that good at any of the STEM stuff. I was not good at math. I was not good at science. I was not good at any of the logically based, really terrible. I mean, just so terrible that I remember sitting the SATs and copying the math section off the guy next to me because I was just hopeless in math and hopeless in science and any kind of logic. But what got me through and made me stay on, you know, and keep on going as far as, you know, doctoral program and PhD. Eventually, what got me through all that was my high school drama department and music department, where I was, we called it the M Hall, music hall. And those of us who were not good at anything but dance, music, art, performance, we would congregate there, and our high school, even though it was a small little Illinois high school, we had a dedicated music department, we had a dedicated dance department, we had a dedicated drama department and a drama teacher and a staff for the staging, audio people. We had people that taught us those things. Now we have very little in our schools that actually answers to that problem. And then on top of it, you have kids that were like me, that the way that they could learn was kinetically or orally. or through performance and through story, through narrative. That was how I learned. That's how I was, you know, and continue to be. And if not for the participation of the arts in my schooling, I think I would have never continued on with school. I think I would have dropped out of high school and said, forget it. I'll just do hair or whatever it is. And, you know, that's what we can do in aid of that. Dear listeners, we can donate to the Arts Fund, because they've got, over the years I've watched, you know, the past 10, 12 years, they've got programs in schools across the county. And now, I don't know if you've heard, dear listener, the new John Hancock, Allen Hancock College in Santa Maria is a $35 million infrastructure dedicated to the arts. Well, the Arts Fund is going to have a footprint there, and courses are going to be hosted there too, as far afield as Santa Maria. So, and that's through the mentorship program that the Arts Fund was set up to do so beautifully, you know, years ago. And we are celebrating with Jamie Dufek, not only her accomplishments in leadership of the Arts Fund, but the fact that the Arts Fund is 40 years old. The mission is collaboration and mentorship and outreach. And there's many other important things they do. But if you support them and you support that schools need some help, then you can go to the Arts Fund. There's a right on the webpage for the Arts Fund is a donation portal, and you can make a donation of any size. In the light of the fact that March 17th, you're going to see some real fireworks and real power of what the Arts Fund can do, I would encourage you to open your checkbook and to go on March 17th to La Cumbre Plaza to see just how powerful the arts are in our community, in spite of the pandemic, in spite of competition, in spite of high rent, in spite of all kinds of things. You know, it's funny, Jamie, Richard and I, during the early part of the pandemic, I had a lot of friends in theater in New York City because of my dance background. And so, you know, we had nothing else to do. We invited a lot of my theater friends from New York, Broadway performers, to be on our little radio station. And one of the artists says to me, you know, how's things going in Santa Barbara? What are the artists doing to help the city during the pandemic? And I said, I think they're all kind of just hunkering down. He said, you know, we're doing the same in New York City, but I want people to know from New York to Santa Barbara that you should turn to the artists, because artists are the problem solvers. That's what being an artist is. It's purely problem solving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wish that the community leaders would talk to us artists about the kind of problems that we're facing as a community during pandemic. Of course, this is a different situation, but it looks like you guys have come to the fore with all the developments in La Cumbre Plaza. Okay, Richard's giving us time. We got to go to a quick break. I want to hear about the hip hop, the different schools participating, Santa Barbara High, Dos Pueblos, La Colina, and there's a special mentor named Paris that's going to be leading this program. So let's quickly, Richard?
Yes, Elizabeth.
Hey, Richard.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Okay, let's just quickly go to quick break, and that way we'll have a good amount of time to talk about the mentorship program for the hip-hop and dance program. Don't turn that down. Back with Jamie Dufek, Acting Director of the Arts Fund, and many other important things, such as CoLab, a space where small not-for-profits can share facilities and cut down on their overhead. What a great idea. Wow. Okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute with Jamie. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm here with Jamie Dufek. We're talking about the Arts Fund, and we're talking about the mentorship program. So this is a really special mentorship program, dear to my heart. Not that I could ever hip-hop anymore, but definitely dance is so important in my life. Team mentorship program. Tell us about the hip-hop and dance program, Jamie.
Yeah, so the Teen Arts Mentorship Program is also celebrating an exciting year. It's our 30th anniversary for the Teen Arts Mentorship Program and our 40th anniversary for the organization. And we are launching the year with a all levels hip hop dance with choreographer and professional dancer Paris. It's a 10-week mentorship that will focus on performance choreography. And then the students will be able to performing downtown at Center Stage Theater on May 4th. So all of the things that they've learned and created during the mentorship will perform for the community. And it's just really exciting to be back in person again. We had to kind of pause with COVID and not do in-person mentorships. We pivoted and did some online mentorships that were successful in their own right. And I think that everyone is also excited to be back in person to experience the arts. And I'm very excited because this mentorship is also all levels. So students are going to really get a taste of different styles of dance. They don't need a ton of experience to participate in the mentorship. And so it's really one of those things where it can open up a new passion or love for some students relative to performing arts.
Okay, and the choreographer's name is Paris. What's her background, do you know?
Paris is a professional dancer, choreographer. She's won awards, and so we feel very lucky to have her.
Fantastic. And you're participating with three schools, Santa Barbara High, Dos Pueblos, and La Colina. How do students, like if they're budding dancers, how do they find out more?
So the Arts Fund actually goes in and has really great relationships with schools across the entire county. And so we actually go into classrooms and we partner with teachers to make that happen every time there's new mentorship cycles. So we do spring, summer, and fall mentorships, about 20 per year. And we get direct access to the students to be able to let them know what's coming up, ask questions in the moment. And then this particular mentorship, it just so happens that there are students from three different schools in South County. And then we also have
the students been selected already?
Yes, we have 10 students that are participating in this mentorship. And they actually just launched their first class this past weekend. So it's the first week of their 10-week program.
And now just very quickly, can you tell us your collaboration with the Isla Vista Recreation and Park District? There was an art installation at Cool Corner and Lake Little Arrowhead Park. You're continuing with that, am I correct?
Yes, we are. They have been an amazing partner that celebrates the arts and wants to have public art throughout their parks. And so we're figuring out how we can partner with them to help bring local artists to light and more public art in that area of town.
And then I just have to just say, Richard, this is a really cool idea. Last Saturday, the Arts Fund hosted the Artsy Date Night in the community gallery. So it was a guided workshop. And you could have brought Amrita and made a contour drawing of Amrita right there and then. That's just a fun idea. All these new ideas that are coming to the fore. And then you also had the support of Crush Bar and Tap via food and drink, et cetera. And then we have a new sponsor, Children's Creative Project and the Santa Barbara Bowl. So we're adding those two organizations to the Arts Fund Aegis, right?
Correct. So the Santa Barbara Bowl Foundation is sponsoring our art walks. So we'll be bringing student performers and music incorporating that into the art walk. And then Children's Creative Project is a really neat sponsorship and collaboration where we're going to be working together to create a youth arts network that will be online for students to be able to join and collaborate with each other and learn from each other relative to the arts and their own work.
Well, that's fantastic, Jamie. So will you give us a shout out in case folks want to get in touch with you, especially to ask about collab or any of the things that the Arts Fund is up to? give us a shout out of your email address and the website one more time.
So if you'd like to learn more about the Arts Fund, you can visit artsfundsb.org. And you can always email us at info@artsfundsb.org. And that will get into my inbox. If you want to learn more about CoLab, you can email me directly at info@claybyjamiedufek.com.
And it's a C-L-A-Y?
Correct.
Okay, so let's C-L-A-Y and then at Jamie Dufek?
Info@claybyjamiedufek.com. C-L-A-Y by Jamie Dufek.
Okay, and Jamie Dufek is spelling J-A-M-I-E-D-U-F as in Frank, E-K as in kitchen.
Correct.
So, yeah, so if you're interested in finding more about the CoLab, and also, of course, to look up on the Arts Fund. And dear listener, if you get a chance, just take a minute and take a look at all these things. We're just hitting on what's happening this spring, but we're going to have a lot more throughout the year. This is the 40th celebration year of the Arts Fund. And if you believe in the power of community art, this is a great year, 40th year, to donate just a little something. You know, a little something, like 20, 40 bucks can help a great deal, and more will help more. But, you know, donate a little something. You can hear from Jamie all of the things that they're involved in and all the things that they're bringing to schools and private organizations and community mentorships and the artists. You know, now we've got a space in La Cumbra, more than one, for the various community artists. Whereas, you know, 3-4 years ago, there was none. So all this fantastic stuff, you just need to reach out a little bit and see if you'd like to donate to the Arts Fund. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate very much you joining us. I'm blown away with what you guys have been doing there. And I look forward to the continuous newsletters. And by the way, you can go on to Arts Fund and subscribe to the email blast. And you can never miss what's happening at the Arts Fund and the community gallery and the art walks and the collaboration with student mentorships. All these things are there. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.